to have an S on your chest. But you darn sure got to be able to represent that T on your helmet.
The studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. This is The Blitz with Rick Butler, Chance Collins, and Brandon Orrick.
Good morning. Welcome into the Blitz on Fan Run Radio. 10:03 on your Friday. Brandon Orrick alongside Chance Collins. Got John Tyler, who I just met for the first time this morning. How y'all doing this morning?
Doing pretty good. Little blind radio date with John Tyler this morning.
Well, I told you what happened, how this all came about, right? I told you yesterday. With Bear.
It was so awkward.
Bear just forced you to be here. Sorry. you don't have to do those things.
No, well...
No, let me finish. You don't... Sometimes he can be a little abrasive. A little rough around the edges. Like a bear.
A little abrasive.
I was trying to be nice. It's Friday. Everybody's going into the weekend.
It's Valentine's Day.
Yeah, it's Valentine's Day. Need those problems in my life. But, yeah, you don't have to do these things. Don't let him force you, or even some might say, not a peer pressure, but a bear pressure you into situations.
So,
We're glad that you're here.
What made it awkward is that he could have simply just texted me, you know, like
obviously.
A normal person.
But oh, yeah.
He decided I was producing overtime, and he was like, I'm just going to call in at 5 minutes before the show's over and demand to be put on the radio. And then
sounds about right.
That's what Bear does.
Right? Yeah, that's his thing.
That's what Bear, he demands to be put on. It's like 3 hours isn't enough. It's not enough for Bear.
It's good radio.
But hope y'all are doing well. Like I said, Friday, Valentine's Day. You got any big plans tonight, Chance?
Oh yeah, I got some plans, Brandon.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Are you going to divulge those plans? Are they going to be kept secret?
Something like. We might. What is
maybe
Russ,
like
a, Russ,
you a movie date? Maybe a little bit more.
A little something. A little bit more. Movie date. Kind of cheap, guys. If you're doing the whole movie date, in my opinion, I mean, just not cheap. It's basic. It's like the PSL in October. And when I say PSL, I'm talking about pumpkin spice lattes. It's a little boring, but yeah, I got a little something planned. Russell calls himself Captain Romance, I believe.
Yeah,
they call me. The Prince of Casanova, and I made that a verb, Casanoving. Yeah, but no, I got a little something planned.
Are you cooking dinner?
Yeah. I mean, okay, you want to get to my plans? Thought I was gonna try to drag this out the entire
okay.
show.
No. We'll get to them later.
Oh, see, teaser. Right. We'll get to my plans later. End of the first hour. I'll tell you exactly what I'm doing.
All right, sounds good. Got a big show ahead today. Tennessee has a big basketball game tomorrow. A must-win game if Tennessee wants to keep their hopes alive to make the NCAA tournament. Tennessee going on the road to South Carolina tomorrow, 6 o'clock on the SEC Network. It's not going to be an easy one by any stretch of the imagination. We will we'll get into that, break that one down a little bit. Something I've been meaning to get to all week, and we just haven't for some reason. The selection committee revealed their top 16 seeds. We'll get into that as well. Also, we'll look at college basketball as a whole. The Astros press conference, I know we mentioned that a little bit yesterday, but that was going on kind of during our show, so it was kind of hard to get a read on what was going on there, but what a train wreck of a press conference that was.
It was like a lot of those guys just learned to speak for the first time.
So we'll dive into that. NBA All-Star Weekend starts tonight. Chance, I know you're probably excited about that. I'm excited. Tonight doesn't really do it for me. Tomorrow's my favorite night.
Oh yeah, tomorrow's the best night. I'm pretty excited about Sunday with the new rules format though.
Yeah,
normally never
see really, how that goes.
Didn't really get up too much for the games in the last probably 7 years, just because I mean it's a show for the fans, so I don't get mad about it. But it's not like great basketball to watch. But the new rules have me intrigued. I like that with the All-Star game. And like you say, Saturday night All-Star festivities they're up there with the Home Run Derby, although that's just one event, and then you have like a collective three event on All-Star night, Saturday night. But that's up there with the Home Run Derby and NHL All-Star game. They do some cool things, but nobody watches that, like, truthfully. But, yeah, it's up there.
I watched it this year.
You did?
Yeah, well, they changed up where they do the three-on-three now, which makes it a little more entertaining.
Yeah, I know they did something like that this year, and they always do like some type of skills competition as well. Football used to be kind of cool with skills competition, but I don't know what the hell happened.
I don't even know what they do anymore. Yeah.
Dodgeball.
They play dodgeball.
We will we'll get into the All-Star game as well. And, Chance, you know what else we got this weekend?
Yes, I do know. We got the XFL. Week two of the XFL. My DC Defenders looking to go 2-0 behind Mr. We Didn't Come to Play No School, Cardale Jones, and they play the Wildcats.
No, they suck. Yeah. The LA Wildcats.
So it's
going to
be 2-0 for my Defenders, it looks like.
My guy, whose name I can't remember, PJ, is it PJ Walker?
PJ Walker, you are correct.
He won XFL Player of the Week, didn't he?
I think you are correct. He was a big hit for a lot of gamblers over the weekend.
He and my Houston Roughnecks will be taking on the St. Louis Battlehawks on Sunday. It's going to be a tough one.
Like what a cool mascot, Battlehawks.
Actually, the Defenders take on the Guardians. I looked at that wrong. New York Guardians.
A couple battle of unbeaten teams there.
Yep.
John Tyler, who's your XFL team? Have you settled on one?
Yeah. I've gone with the Guardians.
Oh. Little rivalry today.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yep. Sorry.
I'm a big Guardian. I like their jerseys, I think, the best as well.
Are you about to say you're a big Guardians fan?
Big it's Guardians
cool
guy.
If you are.
Been a long big time, long time, time, long time
since
fan.
Since the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Long time fan of the New York Guardians.
My daddy's daddy was a Guardians fan. His daddy's daddy was a Guardians fan. And his daddy's daddy started the damn Guardians. That's how long it's been.
But so we got all that to get into as well. And also Tennessee has rounded out their coaching staff. All positions have been filled. But like I said, we will start with basketball. Tennessee, like I said, traveling to Columbia, South Carolina tomorrow, 6 o'clock, SEC Network. Tennessee taking on South Carolina. Rick Barnes meeting Frank Martin, the first time. Tennessee won the earlier meeting this season. What was that, 59-58 or something like that? It was a very close game. Came right down to the wire. And that was a game that was at home for Tennessee. 56-55 was the final.
And actually, Brandon, not to interrupt you, get off the sports topic. I was just thinking about this. I was going through my Twitter DMs. Going through the history.
Oh, yeah?
Today's also a big day. Last year on this day, on Valentine's Day.
Last Valentine's Day.
I, man of the people, I was giving out recipes, helping guys out, budget for $20, what to do as far as cooking dinner tonight. I think we'll do that again today.
So you're doing that today?
I think we'll do that again all today. Right. Last year I helped out my guy, VR2 underscore David, also I believe it was John Ackery hit me up asking what I was doing. But this guy, I wonder if he's still with his girl, because I hooked him up. He was like, Let's go quickly to it. Not going to lie, Chance. I got a $20 budget for tonight. What should I cook with for $20? John, you may not know, I used to, when I had to leave the station for a little bit, I was a chef in another life. I was a professional chef, so just giving out all this free knowledge. He's like, man, I get paid this weekend. He's like, I'm on a budget. Hooked him up, gave him the full recipe, and he's like, man, this is his parting words, Brandon. This is what he says to me. This is what VR.
What's he says to you?
Yeah, VR2 underscore David says to me, hey, man, that chicken was delicious. She loved it. I went ahead and even scraped up some more money and bought some flowers and a card, like you said. It was a great Valentine's Day. Thanks, Chance. Bringing it back.
I feel like you got to reach out, see if they're still together.
I do.
You should reach out to all those guys.
I do.
And see what's happened. You're like a matchmaker, a love matchmaker.
Some like Alex Hitchens.
Yeah.
You could say so. It's cool. Alex Hitchens of FanRun.
Matchmaker.
Is there anybody else that you would say is a better matchmaker? Nobody else has any damn matchmaker stories, John Tyler.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe they're keeping them to themselves.
I haven't heard them.
I've not either. So for the time
three
being.
Three and out. They were first up. I didn't hear any this morning.
That's not surprising, though. Let's be real.
So I'm going to say, you can't talk about the Godfather and his guys like that. You got rules. There are rules, John. There are rules.
On the drive, we have no rules. We just...
Look who you're surrounded by. Come on, man. Look who you're surrounded by. It's okay, though. But yeah, I just reached out to this guy. I asked him, are they still together? So we'll have an update.
All right. Well, we will...
It would be their year, kind of around their year anniversary, I'm guessing.
The three of you.
Yes, the three of us. Look at you. Menage a chance.
I don't know about that one.
All right.
I wouldn't have gone sad trombone, but okay. I don't know about that
one.
So Tennessee taking on South Carolina tomorrow. Two teams that are kind of on two different trajectories. South Carolina, a team that is, they're doing pretty good so far this season, at least in conference play. I mean, they're 15-9 on the year. They are tied for fourth in the conference, and they've won four of the last five. And let me pull up their whole schedule here. I think it's more than that. But South Carolina's on a bit of a roll. Part of that may be because they've been playing some of the lower tier teams in the conference, but they've won five of the last six. So their last loss came at Ole Miss. Just this past Wednesday, went on the road, beat Georgia, who, if you'll remember, absolutely just chili-womped Tennessee.
I love a good chili-womping.
You
bad,
do?
What a bad loss.
I love a good chili-womping.
I don't. Not when we're on the receiving end
we're
of it.
I just love a good chili-womping. We're on the other side.
So Tennessee taking on South Carolina tomorrow. It's going to be a tough one. I don't think that I'm going to pick Tennessee. I've not. We'll make our picks at the end of the show, but I'm not sure if I'm going to pull the trigger on Tennessee or not. I think we saw some promising things from Tennessee on Tuesday night against Arkansas, and I think the defensive effort and intensity will be there like it has for most of the year. But is Tennessee going to be able to go on the road and continue to shoot and hit shots the way they did Tuesday night at home against Arkansas and put up 80 points?
Well, you hope so.
And I mean, I don't.
You need it. And if they win this game, this puts them potentially, depending on what happens. I forget who's in front of them as well. Depending on what happens with Florida over the weekend, if you beat South Carolina, Kentucky, LSU, and Auburn are going to win this weekend. They play Ole Miss, Alabama, and I forgot who the other team was, but it's a bunch of easy teams for those three teams at the top of the conference right now. So they're all going to win, likely go to 10-2 in the conference. Florida loses, you win, you jump right back up, and you're tied with Florida and South Carolina for ultimately the second spot, although there's a three-way tie at the top.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it would depend on what happens with Mississippi State because they would have the, they have the tiebreaker over you.
Excuse me, I forgot about them right there too.
If you, I mean, if you were to beat South Carolina, you would have beaten them twice and definitely have the tiebreaker over them with the same record and then with a game left against Florida. So basically, yeah, you're tied for second place. But this is a game you got to win if you want to have any chance to win the tournament or to get in the tournament. I think you have to win these next two. Just non-negotiable. If you lose them, there's no chance.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you're playing with fire as it is.
But any loss potentially puts you out, you know. But
yeah, but these two in particular, I know it's on the road, but if you want to make the tournament, you got to beat South Carolina. I think you can drop Kentucky or Auburn, maybe even that Arkansas game on the road, but I don't think you can afford to lose tomorrow. 865-546-8200 is our number if you want to get on with us. Give us your thoughts on the game or anything else. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we will dive more into this basketball game, get into much, much more. You listen to The Blitz on Fan Run Radio.
Under the tutelage of Rick Barnes in the last 3 years. So I'd see them get back to that, kind of lean on their defensive prowess, and then you're going to get the buckets. Good defense can lead to great offense. So if they're going out there doing what they're supposed to, playing up in South Carolina's face, being aggressive, you know, not committing stupid fouls, and playing sound defense, I think they'll get the buckets that they want to. And you're going to have some output from some guys that we've been looking at the last, you know, couple of games, and guys that we've looked at the last couple of seasons, talking about Jordan Bowden. He's going to have another pretty good game. Vescovi. If he has another great output like he has last couple games, sky's the limit, man. If he can get hot, when he gets hot shooting, everybody kind of plays off him because he is the playmaker of this squad. So,
yeah, and another thing to watch is Josiah Jordan James going to be back?
Yeah, is he going
to
play?
I saw he returned. He came back to practice yesterday.
That's good.
So it's definitely a positive. Will he play? I don't know. Still not sure. According to GoVols 247, says his official injury status remains the same. Freshman guard Josiah Jordan James returned to practice after missing the last four games with a groin injury that he aggravated nearly 3 weeks ago. Same injury that cost him practice time during preseason in October, which we already knew. Barnes said that Josiah has done some things on the treadmill. I think he'll do a little bit in practice today, but it's still day-to-day. So I don't know if he'll necessarily play tomorrow or not, but still a good sign that he's getting close to being back, or at least it would appear that way.
I think Bowden needs to continue doing what he was doing in the Arkansas game, which was driving to the basket. Obi-Wan Vescovi, it feels like he's kind of like the pacemaker. Like he sets the pace and the tempo of the team. If
absolutely.
He's pushing, Arkansas game, he pushed, and we fed off that. Devontae is that. He's that X guy that comes in. He's not going to score points, and he's going to be super awkward like a baby giraffe on the floor, but he's going to dive for the balls. He's going to try to make the steals. He's going to take the risk defensively, which is going to pump up the team. I think it's always going to be tough playing Frank Martin's teams, because they're defensive-minded. And side note, isn't it weird? South Carolina was in a Final Four just a couple of years ago, and yet here they are not – I mean, it's not like they're recruiting crazy awesome players. That's weird. But I think it's going to be close. I think in the end, we will have them in foul trouble, and we'll just pull away.
I don't know about pulling away. I think this one's going to come down to the wire like the last one. I think the key for the game tomorrow – and it's been something, Chance, that we've talked about all year long. It's kind of been the whole story about this team and the ebbs and flows of this season. But what can you get from the bench? Can you get anything from Kamwa? Can you get anything from Gaines? Can Plavsich give you anything? I think that's going to be an indicator of how this game goes. If you can get some early bench points, I think that's going to be a good sign for Tennessee. I mean, because you saw it early against Arkansas. Kamwa, I think he had some early baskets kind of got him going. And, I mean, Tennessee just kind of dominated that whole game. I don't know if that's the case. I mean, Arkansas and South Carolina, I would say before that game on Tuesday night, if you'd asked me who's the better team, without looking at the schedule, without looking at their records or anything, who's better between Arkansas and South Carolina, I would have said Arkansas. And just as a whole, Arkansas playing without their best player. South Carolina, for as far as I know, is healthy, should have everybody back. But like you said, John Tyler, it's just that Frank Martin style of defense. I mean, Rick Barnes and this Tennessee team plays with a tenacious defense and gets after it on the defensive end. But that's one thing you know that Frank Martin's gonna have. He's gonna have his teams fired up and ready to go. I think it's gonna come down to can Tennessee make shots.
Yeah, they're going to have to hit some buckets. I mean, it's going to be those muck-it-up games. The Frank Martin games, the Konzo Martin games, they're similar. I think you get the same thing with Konzo all the time, but Frank Martin, it kind of depends on the talent he has on his roster, if it's going to be one of those, you know, muck-it-up games or the type of play calling he'll have. But, yeah, man, it's just you are going to have to hit some buckets on the road. As much as we'll talk about defense – and guys just having the will to win, and because they have to win. They know they have to win. I'm sure it's been communicated to them. But somebody's going to have to go out. Somebody's got to have 20. Somebody needs to get around 20-plus.
This seems like a Pons game to me, where he's just more athletic than everyone else. And he just takes
He's generally more
that.
Athletic than everyone else when he steps on the court. That's almost a given. It's just he can't shoot. And everything else that goes into being the full all-around basketball player. But,
well,
yeah, but it could be a Pons game.
He's shown flashes.
He's shooting a lot better.
He's shown flashes this year of being able to shoot the ball a little bit better. Last time Tennessee played South Carolina, he only had 4 points.
Okay.
So hopefully he can bring in a little bit more this time. So yeah. So last time you played South Carolina back in January, Pons had 4 and Bowden had 6.
Yeah, there's no way that happens again this time, right? I mean,
well, there's no way that happens and Tennessee wins.
Oh yeah.
That game, Vescovi had 13, Fulkerson had 15, Triple J had 10, and then in that game you had 8 bench points.
That's a lot for us, actually.
Yeah, Pember led the way with the bench on with 5. So we'll see tomorrow how this team plays. We'll wrap back around and get to this game in hour number 2. If you have any thoughts, you can call in. Give us those to us, 865-546-8200. We'll take a quick break. We come back. I told you earlier Tennessee had completed its coaching staff. All the hires have been made, at least reportedly. So Tennessee, we'll tell you all about that one. On the other side. .1034 back here on the Blitz. Tennessee has hired a new football staffer, Andrew Warsaw.
Who that is?
He is your new director of football operations at the University of Tennessee, Chance. But I had no idea who he was before this morning.
Was that
or before
position?
Yesterday?
Was that?
No. So actually, that was so. I guess it was last or when did the football stuff even happen? Was that this week? Was that early this week? Monday.
Yeah. Monday.
When the reports came out Monday that Rocker was headed to South Carolina and the football staffer Drew Hughes, whenever he. He left with Rocker to South Carolina. Warsaw will be filling his position as kind of the player personnel, football ops guy. He comes from Mississippi State, where he had spent 2 years there with Joe Moorhead. He put out a little thing on Twitter. My family and I are thankful for our time in Starkville, and we enjoyed being a part of Mississippi State University. With that being said, we couldn't be more excited for our next chapter on Rocky Top at the University of Tennessee. It's an honor to be a part of a program with such a rich tradition and the best fan base in the country. Can't wait to get to work for Coach Pruitt and this great staff. Go Vols, the Warsaws. So a little bit about this guy. So before he was at Mississippi State, he was the NFL's director of game operations. And he also has administrative experience as the director of football operations at Purdue, and he spent 3 years as the operations coordinator at Arizona.
He's kind of goofy looking, isn't he?
From 2013 to 2015. Oh yeah, a little bit. During his time doing all that, his job description is. He's responsible for travel coordinations, player personnel, and recruiting logistics. Also in this article from Saturday Down South, it says Todd Watson is Tennessee's current director of football operations. He's expected to move into a new role, and then Watson will take that position. So, Andrew Warsaw, your new director of football operations. That's basically it. I don't know what these guys do.
We got him.
I don't know what they do. I couldn't tell you if this is a good hire.
Didn't even get to have a good old-fashioned director of football operations coaching search.
This one took the longest, Chance. This one took the longest.
We didn't get to get our hot board ready.
Any hot boards ready.
I was ready to come in with a hot board on Monday for the director of football operations for the Vols.
If you had one of those, I would have just packed it up.
Just look at me and tell me you have too much time on your hands if anybody has one of those.
I think that's pretty factual. If you have a director of football ops hot board, you've got way too much time on your damn hands.
So much time.
Do something else with your life. So that rounds out your staff. Jimmy Brumbaugh, defensive line. Defensive line. Shelton Felton, outside linebackers, from earlier, Jay Graham, running backs, and now Andrew Warsaw completing that last off-field role as a director of football operations. While we're on football, did y'all see the other day where Chase Hayden, son of former Tennessee running back Aaron Hayden, has entered the transfer portal at Arkansas. He said the other day, "I would like to thank Coach Pittman and the University of Arkansas for the opportunity of being part of the football program, but I have decided that it is best that I pursue my 2 years of eligibility elsewhere and enter the transfer portal as a grad transfer." So he would be immediately eligible. Should Tennessee have him on their radar?
You know, I thought that Butch really missed when he didn't have him on the radar, and he ran he was getting some quality snaps at Arkansas and ran really hard. I thought that Tennessee might have missed out. Now, I don't think so. I think you got enough backs. And if you're still trying to get what's the kid, Zach Evans, if you're still trying to hold out something for him, I'd say that with Ty Chandler, Eric Gray, and then still Tim Jordan.
So in 3 years at Arkansas, Hayden totaled 616 rushing yards, 5 touchdowns on 130
carries. Was his best year his freshman year? Do you have him year by year?
What?
Was his best year his freshman year?
All his stats combined.
He's had to compete with the dude from Last Chance U, Rakeem Boyd.
Yeah.
There.
That's right.
We got into kind of a heated debate yesterday on the drive about this, whether Trey Wallace seems to think that a running back's going to leave this offseason.
I don't know about that. Hayden, last year he only appeared in 4 games, so I'm guessing maybe he got hurt or something. He only had 39 yards on the season.
Well, I think he's kind of gotten buried on the depth chart.
Okay. But, yeah, his first year was his best year. He played in more games sophomore year, 11 games compared to 7 in the first year. But his first year is where I remember seeing a lot of, like oh, man, Tennessee really missed out. He averaged 5.3 yards a carry, had 4 touchdowns as a true freshman.
And who was his coach his freshman year?
That would have been Bielema.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, and that's Burt. Why. And yeah. Then they brought in Chad Morris.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
You know how that went.
Transformed the only. It didn't go well.
Well, switched. I mean, their offensive identity completely changed.
Yeah. Weren't a power run first team.
My thing is, and I don't think this the wrong way.
Tread lightly.
But if his dad was anybody else, would we even care?
Not likely not. Not. I mean, we'd still say pretty good back, but I now mean, with the backs you have.
With his numbers, I mean, yeah. His numbers, that's 3 seasons. I mean, it's
okay. They fell off.
But I don't know. I mean, if we don't get Evans, sure, let's take him. And I think part of it is
if he wants to come here, you'll make a spot for him. Yeah, if he wants to come here, sure.
Part of it too, I think, is I believe they're recruiting his brother.
That's what I was gonna say. That's the side note. We're recruiting his brother, who's a much better prospect than he was.
Yeah, I can't remember his
Dallin,
name.
Dalen, something like that.
Let's see if we can
Dallas.
Fine.
Starts with a D.
Dallin Hayden. D A L L A N.
Yeah, not Dallas, but a Dallin with an N on the end. You're right.
Out of Memphis. He's a class of 2022. His offer list include Tennessee, Florida State, Florida, Arkansas also on there. He's, like I said, from Memphis, Georgia. Mississippi State, South Carolina, Texas A&M, so a lot of SEC schools. That could be one reason why you would take him, to set yourself up to bring him in and to get his brother. But, I mean, that running back room is kind of loaded right now, especially if you were to get Zach Evans. I mean, I don't see bringing in Chase Hayden and him getting significant playing time over Eric Gray,
no.
Ty Chandler,
no.
Or Jeremy Banks, or excuse me, misspoke, Tim Jordan.
Break some news,
but no, I don't have breaking news. But I mean, who knows? Seems like his Instagram post from a couple weeks seems like he'll be back on the team soon. If I was a betting man, but. I don't see him getting on the field over those 3 backs. Maybe Carlin Fields and me. Maybe he can be better than him. I don't know. But if you bring him in, you don't think he's going to be playing more than those 3 guys. Does that affect his Does that affect his brother's recruitment negatively? If you bring him in and he's just buried on the depth chart here, not playing.
We had a situation like this back with Fulmer, like with the CJ leak, when. Chris played for Florida, right? And CJ played for us?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was because we didn't play CJ enough. Chris didn't come. Because we started Rick Clawson over CJ Leak, I believe.
So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what you do. I say you just recruit the kid, the younger brother. And if Chase comes, great. If that's what he chooses, great. If not, that's fine. I'm not gonna sweat over it. I think Tennessee's pretty set at running back as it sits right now. 865-546-8200. Chance, are you ready?
I'm definitely ready.
You said at the end of hour one.
Yeah.
This is when you're gonna have it.
Well, this is when we have it.
So we are here.
Casanova.
We have reached that point in the show.
I give you a meal under $20. You can go out and impress your significant other this evening on Valentine's Day. And then I'll also tell you what I might be doing.
All right.
Can't divulge too much. My girlfriend's probably listening. I did think about that.
Well,
give all the goods.
If you're listening, change the channel right now. Only Chance is girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah.
Ten 49, final segment of hour number one. Chance.
Mood is set.
Take it away.
It's time. Captain Casanova. For everyone today. Not just for the fellas. We got some ladies, too, that are listening. So, start off. I still didn't get any update from our guy. I wanted to see if the match made in heaven is still a go for my guy last year. But we will start off with Brandon's favorite food.
That is my favorite.
It's mine, too.
I feel like it's a lot of people's favorite.
It's a lot of people's favorite. If you don't like food, I don't know what's wrong
with you. So what are we looking at here? A meal under $20?
Yeah, a meal under $20. And even like something that you can, I would say, I mean, it's pretty impressive, you know, for the novice cook. Yeah. So like it's lemon ricotta dip.
You ever had lemon ricotta dip?
Yeah, ricotta cheese. You like ricotta cheese? You like lasagna?
Yeah.
You like ricotta cheese, Jontel?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So this is quick and simple and also fancy. The total time on this, guys, is literally 10 minutes. About 5 minutes to prep, five minutes to mix it all together and get it a go. So you want to start off, going to get you a French baguette, Brandon.
What'd you say?
A French baguette.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Okay. I know how much you don't really care about the French people, too, the Canadians, French people. We get you a baguette.
I thought you said something else.
No, not this time. Get you some ciabatta bread or French baguette. You want to toast that. You want to get your oven set to about 350, guys.
How long do I need to let it preheat for?
You're going to let it preheat to 350. That's what we're going at.
All right. Preheat the oven.
Oh, first yeah. step. Get it hot.
It's a very important first step.
It's a critical step, man. Critical step. It cannot be overlooked. You cannot overlook this step. Get your baguette. You want to slice it at a bias cut. When I say a bias cut, for those of you new to the kitchen, that's just a diagonal cut. That's what we fancy cooks like to say.
Why can't you just say a diagonal cut?
Yeah, we like to make it sound, you know, a lot better than what it is. So you're going to make
a bias cut?
A bias cut. You're going to take a bias cut and make them about a half inch wide, inch. Probably about an inch wide on your baguette slices. You're going to put those on a sheet tray, otherwise known as a cooking pan, a cookie pan. You got some of those at home? You know, a little flat tray. You're going to drizzle that bread, Brandon? A little olive oil.
A little olive oil
on the bread. You're going to drizzle it. Not too much. You almost saturate the bread.
We going virgin or extra virgin?
I like extra virgin. Much better taste. Then a little salt and pepper.
Yeah.
Sprinkle that across the bread. You're going to put that bread, Brandon, John Tyler. I know you're taking notes over there. Smart guy. Go ahead and put that in the oven for about... You're going to do about 2 minutes, spin that pan, take it out, flip those slices over, cook them again for another 2 to 3 minutes this time.
That was my question. Why are we spinning the pan?
Those of you don't know, new to the kitchen.
Is that a slang term?
Yeah, we're going to spin it. We're going to rotate it.
Oh.
Same rotate. Is that better for you guys?
Well, I mean,
it's a cooking process.
Are you taking it out of the oven?
You are.
And you're basically putting it in a
different... Yeah, you rotate it. It's for a cooking process. Right. Evenly cooking.
That helps?
It does. Do your bacon like that one day. One day, cook your bacon in the oven 7 minutes, rotate it 7 minutes again. See how it cooks so much better.
Bake your bacon?
Huh. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Put you on
something. You've never baked bacon?
I've fried bacon.
Yeah, you can bake it, and that way it doesn't like shrivel up like it does in the frying pan. You get nice long strips of bacon. That's the trick in the restaurant, man. They're not frying bacon. It burns quicker, and it shrivels up a lot.
My mind is blown right now.
Yeah, man. Putting you on all kinds of knowledge today. You didn't know he was going to come here. So we got the bread now. Now it's time to make our dip. So you're going to get you 1 pound of ricotta cheese. Most time it comes in like a little plastic canister. It could come in something like cream cheese, but generally, like I said, it's going to come in the whole milk ricotta. Make sure to get whole milk.
Fire the music back up. I know. I like the music.
You like the music?
I like the music.
You like the music? Okay.
It's nice underneath.
Okay. We'll go back. All right. So you're going to get that whole pound, that 1 pound of whole milk ricotta cheese. Whole milk. Don't try to get fancy with it and say, I'm watching my weight. I need some, you know, some skim milk. No, you need the whole milk ricotta. It's going to taste like crap if you try to cut the corner on this. All right. Then I need you guys to get one lemon. With this lemon, we're going to zest. Do you know what you do when you zest?
Yeah, you get a zester, and you you get the skin.
Good job, guys.
I've seen Rachel Ray.
There you go. So we're gonna zest a tablespoon of a lemon. Take the lemon on the edge, zest it. We're gonna set aside a tablespoon of that lemon zest, and you're gonna divide that. We're gonna come back to that. You need a tablespoon of fresh lemon juice from that same lemon. Get a tablespoon of lemon juice, squeeze that bad boy. I need you to get a half teaspoon of kosher salt, Brandon, John Tyler. Then we need a little bit more olive oil. And here's the
Hold
other
up.
Here.
What's the difference in regular salt and kosher salt?
It's more coarse, kosher salt is.
Okay.
It's a bigger grain.
Okay. So like the rocks?
Yes.
That's why it's called kosher? Or is it to do with it being like people who are kosher?
Maybe
we're getting bogged down. Sorry,
we gotta get the damn recipe out.
Sorry, right. You got 2 minutes for the recipe.
All right, so we got the ricotta cheese. We've zested our lemon. We got the tablespoon of lemon juice to the side. We got our bread. We already pulled that out of the oven. Now we're gonna whip this whole milk ricotta in a bowl. Get out your blender. You know, hope you have a hand mixer or something like that. You're gonna whip that for about 1 to 2 minutes. That's all you got to do on high speed.
Hmm.
It's gonna be light. And airy. It's gonna be fluffy, like whipped cream. Ricotta cheese is gonna be all whipped and nice and fluffy. Now you're gonna add your tablespoon of lemon juice. Take that divided lemon zest, put that in there, Brandon. Add your kosher salt, and then whip it again for one more minute. Boom, done. Put it in a bowl. Put it on your platter. Spread the ciabatta or your French baguette slices around it very nicely. And you can also add fresh vegetables for a little twist. Maybe some cherry tomatoes, maybe some carrots, some celery, and you got your little lemon ricotta board.
All right.
And the crowd goes wild.
There you go. Chances.
Under $20.
Chance got you set up.
Under $20.
Meal under $20. Get you set to go for.
And it's going to look so damn good and impress the hell out of whoever you're trying to impress tonight. Trust me.
Is that a full meal, though?
Well, it's an appetizer.
Okay.
I would say it's an appetizer, but it could be a full meal because you have that with the vegetables. It's going to create a
filling.
It's a big portion of dip,
but it'd be a light meal.
Yeah,
it's not going to be too filling. Not going to feel bloated and just ugh. Yeah.
You could eat something like that. Add some meats and cheeses to it. Now you got a charcuterie board mixed with your ricotta cheese board with the lemon zest pizzazz on it, and you can still go out and have a damn good time, JT.
There you go.